Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks so much for joining us here on this 17th of August. Hope your kids did well going back to school if you have kids who just started up this week. I know that some of the college students are leaving this week to start over wherever they might be, UNL, or some are going down to Missouri and Iowa and other places wherever they might go. Praise God for this season. We're entering out of the summer, kind of going in a little bit here to the fall season. And I always love the changing of seasons. Hope things are going well for you wherever you are at today. A few announcements just as we begin. One is that we are kicking off all of our fall programs again. We're getting back into the routine. So we have our 8:30 and 10:30 services now on Sunday morning. And we also have our Sunday school at 9:30. And there's Sunday school classes for all ages. We have a marriage small group. We have a group for kind of people who are new to the faith and want to learn the foundations and the basics. We also have a class that is learning what the gospel means, going out into the world and into the cities and whatever. It's a Tim Keller study, The Gospel in Life. And so we have that one going on as well. And so we also have a young adults, and then we have confirmation class for the middle schoolers, and then we have classes, high school class, and all the other elementary classes for the kids. And so it's a great way to add something to your church time on a Sunday morning is to come for that extra 45 minutes. Come at 9:30 and get Sunday school connections with those groups, and then stay for worship. It's a good morning. Hope that you can do that. We also have our youth groups, our Breakout and Collide youth groups, start up at the Cove this Wednesday night. And then a week from Wednesday, we have our midweek, our younger kids at the church that'll start, and our small groups, all our adult Bible studies, midweek groups that are meeting at different homes as well as at church. I have a men's group that meets over at my house. And so those all begin. We also have ways for you to serve. We have the backpack program. We have a food and fellowship ministry. We have different ways in worship and music and other ways. We also have a four family fellowship, ways where you can connect with other families for some meals and get to know other people in the church. And so there's signups that you can find on your church email or in the back of the church in the foyer here, or by just calling me or Jessica or Tobias and saying, hey, I want to get more involved. How can I? And we'll walk through those things with you. And maybe this year can be a time where you do something different than you've done in the church before and get to know the Lord maybe even a little bit more. That would be our hope and our desire. All right, well, we're doing a study this fall on the names of God that appear within Scripture. We started it last week, and we're on to week two. And so if you have your Bibles there, turn with me over to Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 1 to 15 today. And this is when God appears to Moses at the burning bush. He reveals his name there to Moses, and we're going to look at that today. So this is Exodus chapter 3. Verses 1 to 15, and it says this, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he came and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'm going to go over and see this strange sight. Why this bush is not burning up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called out to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place that you are standing is holy ground. And then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I've indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of the into a land that is good and spacious, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanite, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me. I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So go now. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be a sign to you that if it is I who have sent you. For when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask, what is his name? What would I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. So the second name of God that we look at here in our fall sermon series on the names of God found in his word and what they mean is the name that God himself here says to Moses. Think of that. God says, this is my name. He said, this is the name that you shall call me forever. And then he uses the Hebrew word, I am who I am. I am is a four-letter Hebrew put together forming the word Yahweh. We translate it, I am. Now, when the name Yahweh was translated into Latin, which was the language of Rome, and when it became a Roman church and everything, the Y's were replaced with J's because there is no Y in Latin. The closest letter is J. So Yahweh became Jehovah. But it is the same name, the same Hebrew letters, Yahweh, but pronounced with J's, Jehovah. For the Jews, the name Yahweh was so holy, they would not dare speak it aloud. They didn't even want to write it, afraid they would blaspheme it. And so they replaced it with the name Adonai, which means Lord. In fact, if you look closely at your Bibles, most Bibles will let you know when Yahweh is actually the Hebrew. It'll be replaced by Lord, but they will indicate it is Yahweh by using all caps for Lord. You can see that in Exodus 3 in verses 2 and 4 in my Bibles. Maybe it's there in yours as well. But it's telling me that the real name there is not Lord, it is Yahweh. When it's just referring to the common Lord, like the word master or something, it's all lowercase. But the real translation, when it's all caps, is the Hebrew word name Yahweh. They did not write it, they did not say it, they use all caps Lord. But it's the sacred name for God, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the Hebrew people, the one true God of all gods. Yahweh is the very personal name, God, that was given to Moses here to tell his people that he is the great I am. The I am who I am. The I will be who I will be. And you know what? Names, if we remember here, are really a big deal. That is why we're studying them here this fall. Names define. Names show relationship. You know, it's the whole thing. When a kid brings home a stray cat and then they name it, and you're like, don't name it. You'll become attached, right? Because names matter. I just heard someone just the last couple of weeks say how important it was when they came to church and then when they came back that someone called them by name, remembered their name. It's a big deal. When I was growing up, I remember some kids in elementary school who welcomed me into their group, and I still remember their names. Davis was one. There was another kid we just called M, and then another one, Vit. They were the cool kids, and they had these cool nicknames for each other. And when I joined the gang, they gave me a cool name. I was Ols. I thought that was so cool at the time. I felt like I belonged to the group. Names define. They show relationship and connection. Well, last week we began this sermon series by looking at the first name mentioned in the Bible for God. It comes in the very first verse of the very first chapter, the first book of the Bible, Genesis, and that is the name Elohim. It begins with, in the beginning, God. The Hebrew word there, Elohim, and last week I talked about how that name reveals that God is creator. That name reveals that he is the beginning of all things, the center of all things, the one behind all things. We don't breathe without him. He is God and we are not. This world is only because of him. We exist because he said so. The sooner we realize that, everything else starts to make sense, and we find our place in the world made in his image and his purpose. Elohim, that first name of God. Well, today we look at the second name of God that we discover in God's word describing who he is, and that name, Yahweh, which is so important because what it does is it reveals to us that God is not just the creator, not just some higher power who made the world but is hands off and doesn't care what happens to us. No, he is Yahweh also. That it's his personal name. Because he is a personal God. He has a name. He has feelings. He loves. And he loves us. We see in our scripture, he comes down to Moses. He comes down to our level. He calls Moses by name. He knows the man. He speaks to him. God speaks. And he indicates here that he cares, that he sees the sufferings of his people and has come down to rescue them, deliver them. Yahweh, he is a deeply personal and close to us God, watching over us, near us. Yahweh, the one who has a name, the same one who spoke so many years before to Abraham, the same one who wrestled with Jacob, the same one who sat with Joseph in the prison cell and now calls Moses to lead his people, the same one with Daniel in the lion's den, the same one who comforted Jeremiah in his time of loss, and now the same one who knows my name and meets me in my prayers, wants to guide my life. Yahweh, not far away, not unknown, but close, so very close, and makes himself known to us. The name Yahweh appears more than any other name in the Bible, over 6,800 times. It is the name that God himself tells Moses when Moses asks, what's your name? He says, tell my people, Yahweh. I am who I am, the will always be, the same yesterday, today, and forever one. The I was there with your ancestor Abraham and took him outside to look at the stars and assured him that he and Sarah were going to have a child and a land of their own. And I never forget my promises. That God, Yahweh, the great I am, the promise keeper, the faithful one, the same throughout the ages, the rock that is beneath our feet that we stand, the same God who now calls me and calls you by our names. Whereas Elohim is kind of the title God, Yahweh is his very personal name, shows his relationship to us. It's kind of like the difference between knowing someone by title, like the president, and going to him in his office officially, you know, compared to knowing him as a friend and stopping by his house and having dinner at his table and he showing up at the hospital when your kid is sick and you call him when you need a favor. It's the difference there, you see. I wonder, you know, many people maybe know God by title. God, his higher power up there. But do you know him by name? Do you know him as he has revealed himself to you in Christ, as Father, Abba, as daily friend and Lord and Savior of my sins and holder of my heart, the one that I turn to when I need him, the one who comforts me in all of my struggles, and he has tears in the midst of my suffering and wants me to do his will. God wants to be known. He desires a relationship. Yahweh is his name. Back in ancient times, maybe like today, many people believed there was a god. Actually, back then, they believed in many different gods. In Egypt, they worshipped the sun, and they worshipped the Nile River, and then they had some idol that they believed in gave them greater fertility or prosperity or an afterlife, and they tried to please those gods, that those gods maybe would help them, but the gods didn't love them, didn't know them. They were just kind of pawns. They believed, you know, and the gods were mostly just into themselves and had to be awakened, they felt, and bribed to get them to do things for them. Well, Yahweh is saying, those are not even real. I am real. I am the one true God, and I'm completely different than the ones of your own imagination. And he's seen here with a heart, someone who wants to be known, who acts on our behalf, who sees us as a people, who responds to evil. You see, he's setting himself apart. Do we know him by name? You see, when I open the Bible in my life, I'm not just opening some ancient text. This is the living word to me. He speaks to me directly to my heart. And when I pray, I'm not just throwing up some wishes to the sky, trying to bribe someone to give me something. I'm talking to my Father in heaven who knows me and loves me and cares about me, has a plan for my life in this world. I'm going to my dad. When I come to worship and church, I'm not doing some just religious things to seem pious or rituals. I'm going to meet with God and declare his praises and gather with his people and encourage one another in his truth, the good news of God, my life in him, with him. He's my hope. He's real. This is the meaning behind the name Yahweh, that he is the God who knows me, who sees what I'm going through right now, and he's got a plan for today, and he even comes down to help me in my real sufferings. He came in Christ to save me and to lead me. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the great I am. He's got a name. He's not just a title. He is a person, not just a being. He is my Father, and I am in his heart. You are in his heart. I want to point out a couple things about this scripture that we can take away from the name Yahweh for our own lives. First thing, context here matters. We're in Exodus 3 in the Bible, and this is about 1500 BC. Moses was born at a particular time in history when his people were in slavery, not only slavery, but a time of genocide for them. The Egyptians feared the Israelites were getting too numerous and would soon take over in their land, and so they made a law that all the Hebrew baby boys were to be killed. They were trying to decrease the Jewish population. But here is a truth, that the plans of God cannot be destroyed by man. And God had a plan to save his people and reveal the truth of who he was to a world. And so we read in Exodus 2 that when Moses was born, his mom hid him from the soldiers as long as she could. When she couldn't hide him any longer, she did the hardest thing ever. She made a basket and laid her boy in it and pushed her son down the river in that basket towards the palace. I mean, this is her little baby boy. She had to let him go in order to save him. In faith, she prayed that hoped that the royal women of Egypt bathing and washing down there in the sea would see her baby, take pity on him, and take him in. This was her hope, and sure enough, that is what happened. She had to give up her child in order to save her child. She had to trust him to God. And Moses was spared, pulled up out of that river by the daughter of Pharaoh, took him in and raised him in the palace while his mom really watched from a distance. Later, God would restore him. Beautiful story. But right now, she had to give him up. And we don't know when Moses came to see who he really was, that he was, you know, in the palace there, that he was not Egyptian, but Hebrew. Maybe he kind of knew it from a young age, maybe only later. But at some point, he did. And we read in Exodus chapter 2 that one day, Moses saw a guard beating one of his own Hebrew people. And he couldn't take it anymore. So when no one was looking, he took the matter into his own hands, and he killed that guard. From a young age, Moses had a calling on his life to save his people, but he was not going about it the right way, God's way, just like us. We can do things our own way first instead of God's way, just like Abraham, who took matters into his own hands instead of waiting on the Lord. We all can do it. Moses proves here he had some growing up to do. Well, because Moses killed the Egyptian, there were consequences in his life. Someone saw him. Pharaoh threatens to take Moses' life. So Moses runs away into the wilderness. But God was not done with Moses. God does not abandon us after we mess up our lives. Even in our sin, even when we find ourselves lost in the wilderness, God is still faithful. He keeps watch over Moses. He is Yahweh. He is the promise-keeping God. So in Exodus 2, we read that God led Moses to a well right in the middle of the Sinai Desert, where Moses finds water, and he also meets his wife there, a daughter of a Midianite named Jethro. And Jethro takes Moses in, gives Moses a home, a job, a family. And for 40 years, Moses lives this anonymous life. He becomes a shepherd tending sheep, which would turn out to be the perfect job to prepare him for what God was going to call him to do, shepherd and lead his people. Well, this, you see, is the context of our scripture for today. Yahweh had watched over this boy from the beginning, created him to do certain things and never left him. Now is about to make himself known to him. One real and ordinary day when Moses is out tending sheep just like every other day. But this day is going to be different. He's going to change. For this is the day he's about to meet God, Yahweh, the one who's known him ever since he was born and had a plan for him. This is the day Moses is going to meet his God. Not the day God meets Moses. God was always with him. But the day Moses was going to meet his God. And God does this strange thing. He sets a bush on fire. He causes it not to burn up. It's just an attention grabber. Moses goes over to see it, and then God speaks to him. God uses many things in our life to get our attention. The bush was just a hook, just like the star in the sky was for the wise men. The star led them to Bethlehem. So too the burning bush, just a way to get Moses alone. And there God reveals himself and his purposes to Moses. And his connection to him. He says, my name is Yahweh. I am holy. I am here right now with you. And I am the God of your true self, who you really are, and of your true descendants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is telling Moses who Moses is, at the same time as telling him who he is. Moses, this is who you are. These are your people. You come from a long line of people that I have had a promise with. This is where you come from. And I am your God, the God of your people from the beginning. There is something here about the name Yahweh and what God is saying to Moses that reveals God is the one true constant throughout all the ages, the one who really defines us. The faithful one in an ever-changing world. A world that's always changing that we can even get lost in. He comes to us and he reminds us of who we are. And that we belong to him. And that he hasn't forgotten. Moses had been disconnected from his people and from his God. Who he really was. So God reveals to him not only who he is, but who Moses is. The first time he uses the name here in verse 6, he says, I am Yahweh. I am the God of your father, your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're Hebrew, Moses. You're a descendant of the promise of the covenant of which I am faithful. I made you for a reason. I'm the one who saved you out of the Nile for a reason. I created you on purpose. I put the passions inside of you, and I'm going to save my people, and I'm going to save them by sending you. Yahweh. Who God was yesterday, God will be today, and you can count on him tomorrow. He does not change with the shifting of shadows and times. He does not age. He does not expire. He does not become irrelevant or forget his promises. In Exodus 34, 5, he says, "This is my name. I am gracious and slow to anger and abounding in love, maintaining faithfulness to 1,000 generations, forgiving wickedness and sin, yet also not leaving the guilty unpunished." He is the same, always and forever, unchangeable. Unshakable, totally reliable. Who he has been in previous generations, he is still today. What he did back then, he continues to do today. The world and its opinions and beliefs and culture are constantly shifting. Even our lives can go in many different directions and we can get lost. But in him, we again are found. The second thing about the name Yahweh we can learn here is that it's personal. God is a personal God. He's got a name and he wants a real relationship with you and me. In our scripture, we learn here that not only does God call Moses by name, he reveals that he cares about his people. He says in verse 7, "I've seen the misery of my people." My people. "I have heard them crying in their suffering. And I have come down." God gets involved. He is moved. He cares what happens to us and this world. Psalm 34 says this amazing thing. It says, God is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. He is close to us. He comes down. He feels things. He's got emotions like love for us. Again, God is not some impersonal force in the universe or just some higher being. He is real and he is relational and he is involved and he is personally near you. He is affected even. We see this in Jesus Christ. We see God weep. We see God love. We see God comfort a widow. We see him welcome children. We see him have compassion on the poor and the sick and the hungry. We see God get angry and flip over a few tables. We see all of it. We see him willingly go to a cross, laying down his life for ours. He is Yahweh, personal and involved, not without emotion, not distant or complacent, but present and real with you. What a lie the enemy convinces us of, to think that God doesn't care. He cares so much more than we could possibly imagine. Who am I that my God would care at all? And yet we see on every page of this holy book how much he really does. Yahweh, involved, personal. He even invites us to work with him in the world, fulfilling his plans. He includes us in his work. He lets us help, kind of like a dad who lets us help pushing the lawnmower, even though it's barely, you know, our hands barely on it there when we're little. We're not really pushing it at all, but he lets us think we're helping. You know, like he wants that type of relationship with us. God gets in, lets us get involved in what he's doing in the world. He invites Moses to go with him to Egypt and to speak for him. Moses was running away from Egypt, but God says, "Come back with me. But don't do it like you did before. But do it now, this time my way, with my power and my purposes in mind, and it'll make all the difference." He's a personal God who invites us to know him and to serve him in what he's doing in the world. And when Moses says yes, his life forever changes. Notice, though, at first Moses still thinks, "Who am I to go to Pharaoh? Who am I?" As if God is calling him because of his qualifications. As if Moses was some good speaker, powerful leader, and could change the heart of Pharaoh. And no, God didn't need Moses. Moses needed God. God in love is inviting Moses to join him in what he's already going to do. He is doing this for Moses' sake. That's why God says, "I'm going to be with you. It's not about you, Moses, and who you are. It's about who I am," the name Yahweh. I am. Not who you are, but who I am. We have to keep remembering this in our relationship with God. It's not who you are. It's who he is. It's his love, his salvation, his will, his transformation. With God, we can do what we couldn't do before. With him at the center of our life and at the controls, we become a new person. We bear good fruit. Apart from him, we can do nothing. It's not who you are. It's who he is. When Moses trusts in God to be God, everything begins to change in his life. Moses isn't perfect. He still forgets from time to time. He still makes mistakes along the way like us. But the new power and focus of his life is no longer himself, but Yahweh, doing life with Yahweh. Moses even builds a tent later on in his life, one that he calls the tent of meeting, where he goes to talk with God. As life and leading people is tough, he keeps turning and going to that tent to be with God. In Exodus 33:11, it says Moses would speak to God face to face, like a man speaks to his friend. Jesus said something similar to his disciples. He says, "I now call you friends," a friend with God. Yahweh, the name reveals that God is a personal God, inviting us to do life with him, to know him. Again, the difference between the title Elohim and the personal name Yahweh. Same God, but he is now not just the one behind everything, but the one who also knows me and wants me to do life with him. The final thing about the name Yahweh that I gotta mention is its connection to Jesus. Jesus speaks the name Yahweh 8 times that we have recorded for us in the Gospel of John, and every one of them refers to himself. Again, remember, the people back then, they never spoke the name Yahweh, but Jesus did. In John 8:56-59, when Jesus was teaching about who he was and what he had come from the Father to do, he mentions Abraham. He talks like he was with Abraham and knew Abraham personally. And the people say, "You're not even 50 years old. How can you say you know Abraham?" And Jesus says this line, "Truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am." And the Bible says they all picked up stones to stone him. Why? Because Jesus just spoke the name Yahweh. And he did not only say it, he said it of himself. The name above every name given to him, Jesus. He was there before Abraham. In a way, you could say the Son of God was the voice in the burning bush. He was the fourth man in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He is the great I Am who came down to save his people, not just back then, but now for all of us on the cross. The same. And like with Moses before, now with his disciples, he calls us to go for him and he sends us in the same. He is the great I Am. 7 other times Jesus uses the name, and in our English translations, we can overlook it, but it is there. He says, for example, "I am the good shepherd." And he's not just saying the words, "I am," but the name above every name, Yahweh. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though he dies." In each case, Jesus is not just saying, "I am." He is using the name Yahweh, the name of God. He is saying, "Now in the flesh in me," to once again save you and me. And that is why we are invited into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Because he is the same, the name above every name. He is personal. We're able to know and be known by him, and he invites us into his salvation, forgiveness of sins, and a daily walk with him to really know him and serve him. It's not just a religion. It's a relationship with a very real God through Jesus Christ, who always was and is to come. Who, like with Moses, has known you since before you were born. He knows who you really are, even if you have forgotten it. He's watching over you. And even when you've messed up your life, it's not too far and not too long away. For him, he'll still come to you to get your attention somehow, because he wants to be back in your life, that we might live into the purposes for which we were made. He comes to us and invites us to believe in him and to do life with him. He is Yahweh, the same from Abraham until today, revealed in Jesus Christ. He is the one and the only, the always and forever, the unchanging and completely faithful one, the great I Am. Have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.